enthusiasm for the metaverse is waning among tech companies.
It's sort of just fallen out of fashion in a way, and I think a lot of people just feel kind of meh about the metaverse right now.
And Starbucks' longtime leader Howard Schultz faces sharp questioning on Capitol Hill. Plus, why tech experts want to hit the pause button on generative AI like ChatGPT. It's Wednesday, March 29th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The White House plans to recommend tougher rules for mid-sized banks as soon as this week, after the recent failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank sent tremors through the banking system. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The recommendations are expected to call for new rules from the Federal Reserve and other agencies, including for banks with between $100 billion and $250 billion in assets. The Fed is already considering tougher capital and liquidity requirements, as well as stronger annual stress tests. The White House declined to comment. Longtime Starbucks leader Howard Schultz was grilled by lawmakers on Capitol Hill today as he sought to defend the company against accusations that it had retaliated against pro-union workers. The Senate's Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions is investigating whether Starbucks flouted federal labor laws since baristas began pushing for union elections more than a year and a half ago. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders chairs the committee.
Over the past 18 months, Starbucks has waged the most aggressive and illegal union-busting campaign in the modern history of our country. That union-busting campaign has been led by Howard Schultz, the multi-billionaire founder and director of Starbucks, who is with us this morning only under the threat of subpoena.
Lawmakers also pressed Schultz on hundreds of unfair labor practice complaints filed by the union with the National Labor Relations Board against Starbucks over allegations that it harassed and fired pro-union workers. Schultz said Starbucks unequivocally has not broken any federal labor laws and that he was confident the allegations would be proven false.
We do nothing that is nefarious. We put our people first. We make decisions based on our people, and we have the track record to prove it. Starbucks is probably one of the best, if not the best, first job in America.
Starbucks has not signed a collective bargaining agreement with the union since it began negotiations last October. So far, U.S. baristas across 291 stores have voted to unionize. That's about 3% of the company's 9,300 U.S. locations, according to the NLRB. Video game retailer GameStop got a lot of attention in 2021 when CEO Ryan Cohen took over and pledged to transform it into an e-commerce giant. Investors turned it into a popular meme stock. But the push into e-commerce has faltered, and we report that the company has quietly pivoted to refocus on its remaining physical stores, of which there are about 4,400. Our tech reporter Sarah Needleman says it won't be easy.
The plan is to go back to focusing on the company's roots in brick and mortar because it's really the only other option at this time. It's very challenging because even before the e-commerce push, the company was struggling, not just because of the pandemic, but even going further back in time, the company was struggling because of a trend that has just persisted all these years of people no longer buying games printed on discs. They're mostly downloading it over the internet. And we're now starting to see people even stream games over the cloud. So the old days of hard copies, that's going away. And it's a real problem for the company. It's persisting and won't let up.
A major source of frustration for doctors and patients alike in the U.S. could soon be easing. We report exclusively that UnitedHealthcare, the nation's largest health insurer, plans to cut its use of the prior authorization process. Health insurance companies Cigna and Aetna are also moving to revamp their processes. You're likely familiar with those if you've ever needed to get your doctor to document that, yes, you really do need that procedure or that medication in order for your insurance to cover it. It can be time-consuming for doctors and for patients to wait for a decision. Our health insurance reporter, Anna Wilde Matthews, explains.
Doctors have long complained about the procedure, and I think the complaints have maybe gained volume in recent years. The complaints tend to be that this is an incredibly time-consuming process for them. It's a lot of paperwork. They argue that it can delay care for patients who need it, and sometimes can deny care to patients who need it. UnitedHealth executives said they've heard the concerns, they've heard the complaints, and they are making some changes. I would say an important piece of context around the decision of UnitedHealthcare right now is that there is increasing scrutiny on prior authorization from state and federal officials. So several states have passed laws recently, and federal officials have proposed some changes that would apply to certain kinds of insurance plans. So it is important context to understand that there is some pressure on the industry coming from policymakers at the state and federal level.
China says it will retaliate if House Speaker Kevin McCarthy meets with Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen during her planned stop in California next week. Tsai is set to meet with McCarthy on her way back from visits to Central America. A spokeswoman for China's Taiwan Affairs Office said today that a meeting with the House Speaker would be seen by Beijing as a provocation that harms China's sovereignty. Biden administration officials have stressed that the U.S. is maintaining its pledge to Beijing on unofficial relations with Taiwan and wants differences resolved peacefully. And the U.S. Senate has voted to repeal the 2002 law that authorized the U.S. invasion of Iraq. The bill now heads to the House, where it has bipartisan support but is not guaranteed to come to a vote, given continued opposition from some Republicans. An authorization passed by Congress in 2001 after the 9/11 terrorist attacks still stands. It has been used to justify military operations such as those in Iraq and Syria against Al-Qaeda, Islamic State, and other militant groups. Coming up, interest in the metaverse is declining. What it means for tech companies after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Is anyone still interested in the metaverse? Recently, big tech companies seem to be backing away from virtual reality. Walt Disney shuttered a division dedicated to developing strategies for the metaverse. Microsoft shut down a virtual reality platform it acquired in 2017. And even the CEO of Meta Platforms, formerly known as Facebook, focused more on artificial intelligence than the metaverse in an earnings call just last month. So what happened, and is there a future for the metaverse? Our tech reporter Megan Bobrowski tackled this topic, and she joins me now to talk about it. Hi, Megan. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Megan, let's start with the initial grand hopes for the metaverse, starting with Facebook's rebranding in October of 2021. There was a lot of excitement around this not so long ago, right?
Yeah, so Meta changed its name in October 2021, and I think that just got a lot of people excited about this idea. And, you know, they thought if this big company is getting involved to the point where they're changing their name, clearly there must be something here, and therefore we are going to focus on this.
Okay, so what's happened since then? Why aren't we seeing the same sort of enthusiasm around the metaverse right now?
Yeah, so a couple different things have happened. At that time, interest rates were much lower, and so people had money to be putting into experiments and other sort of projects. And obviously now many companies are in cost-cutting mode, and so they're pulling back, they're cutting projects, they're laying off staff. And so this is one of the things that has sort of been cut along with those cuts.
Megan, in addition to the change in the hype perhaps about the metaverse, what else about it is not quite working right now?
Kind of like core problem here is the technology is just not here yet. Some of these headsets and these platforms are really confusing to use. And also they're just really glitchy and full of bugs right now. And, you know, Meta and Microsoft have both struggled to sort of just get the technology to work, period. And so, you know, obviously consumers are recognizing that and seeing that and have not jumped on board with them.
So as we mentioned, Walt Disney and Microsoft are among the companies that have recently backed away from their metaverse ambitions. Where do other tech companies stand right now? Can this vision for the metaverse be saved?
So there's a couple of things here. So certainly the hype around the metaverse has died down, but people who have sort of been working in the space for a while They say that this is something that is the future in 5 or 10 years. It's not happening right now, but they're going to keep working on this. And this is something that they sort of see as, you know, having a resurgence, you know, later down the line. Whereas right now, companies are in cost-cutting mode. AI is sort of something that has taken a lot of these companies by storm, and it's something that they're all focusing on right now. And so it's sort of just fallen out of fashion in a way. And I think a lot of people just feel kind of meh about the metaverse right now.
Megan, a quote that stood out to me this week was in response to Disney's decision to scrap its metaverse plans. Meta seemed to come back strong. A spokesman even told the Journal that it's easy to be a cynic about all of this, but that Meta still believes the metaverse is the future of computing. So where does Meta stand on this exactly?
Yeah, so Meta's still pouring, you know, billions of dollars into this and trying to make it a reality. They're certainly also focusing on AI, and I think expecting to see returns in the short term with AI. But certainly, you know, this is, they haven't given up on it. They're not going to, you know, change their name to something else now. It's just that maybe they're going to be a little bit more quiet about what they're doing here.
And how is the industry receiving these sorts of assurances that the metaverse is indeed the way forward?
Companies are doing their own sort of thing here. It's not all tied to Meta, but certainly companies that are not at their core virtual reality or metaverse companies are sort of focusing on what they do that's core, that, you know, is not those things.
What about for smaller companies that bet on the metaverse? How are they being impacted right now?
So there's some smaller companies like Decentraland and The Sandbox where you can buy virtual land. And these companies are, you know, not the ones who came out and were being super loud about the metaverse and trying to get people to come to it. They were just kind of doing their own things. And virtual land prices are down. In Decentraland, for instance, the median price per square meter dropped from about $45 a year ago to about $5 now. So things have come down a bit. But what they say is sort of people that were here just because it was the hot new thing or the hype, but didn't really believe in it, those people are gone now. And so who's left is really the people who do believe in this. And so they don't really see as much issue with this because they weren't really, you know, trying to get billions of people on these platforms to begin with.
Wall Street Journal tech reporter Megan Bobrowski. Megan, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And finally, artificial intelligence experts, including Tesla CEO Elon Musk, are asking to pause development of powerful AI tools like ChatGPT. In an open letter today, they're asking for a 6-month moratorium for the industry to set safety standards for AI design and head off potential harms. But one thing noticeably missing from this paper is jobs. According to a study by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania and OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, 80% of American occupations have at least one task that could be handled more efficiently by generative AI. Journal Workplace reporter Lauren Weber says this technology is the latest to challenge work.
We used to be worried about robots taking all of our jobs, and that has certainly changed how factory assembly lines operate. And there are fewer jobs in those areas. So we are now looking at a different kind of technology that impacts different kinds of jobs. And what these AI tools are very good at is processing huge amounts of information and generating very, very sophisticated responses after humans put prompts in. So you can ask it to do all kinds of things, like here, summarize 1,000 pages of novels and tell us about the human condition.
By the way, our tech podcast, Tech News Briefing, is launching a special weekly series about AI. It's called Artificially Minded, and it starts next Monday, April 3rd. Each episode, they'll be answering some of the big questions around generative AI and how it's already affecting life, work, and business in surprising ways. Be sure to follow Tech News Briefing on your favorite podcast platform and get ready for Artificially Minded each week in April, starting next Monday. And that is what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.